Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Washington, D.C., at the Kennedy Center on C-SPAN, President Bill Clinton.
From 1945 and the end of the war through 1989 and the end of the Cold War, we had a worldview. Republican and Democratic presidents alike, from Harry Truman to George Bush, stood for freedom and stood for certain propositions that would make America strong and healthy and grow the middle class and shrink poverty and stand against communism. And after 1989, President Bush said, and it was a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, that we needed a new world order. And instead, it looks like we got a lot of disorder. And we still, and after 9/11, we've been more sensitive to the difference.
Greetings and good evening to Mystery Babylon Radio on February 17th, 2013. Tonight I'm doing something a little different. This is the second part of two parts that I did on Fair Dinkum Radio in Australia. The reason I'm doing this is I came across Fair Dinkum Radio about 2 months ago, and it's so interesting to hear somebody in another country and having the same things happening to them that's happening here in our country. Of course, they've taken the guns in Australia, and they have a carbon tax. And so we're going to get a carbon tax here, and we haven't heard the last of the guns. And he just got a real interesting he speaks with a lot of clarity and a lot of meaning. And so I'm going to replay now the second part that I did of our broadcast that he had. And the first part, if you missed last night, you can go back last night to hear the first part. And the title of this is "Which Box Do You Belong To?" And this is Leon Pittard of Fair Dinkum Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Washington.
Excuse me, hit the wrong button. Here we go.
Was sold to the people as tax reform, a reform that has cost the people more. Let's think of gun laws for a minute. It was under the Howard government that the nation of Australia was disarmed. Now, I want to point out that I do not advocate that we all should be armed, but I do think we should have a choice. Anyone that has followed and looked at the events of Port Arthur know that there is something wrong with the official version of events of what took place that day in Tasmania. A simple investigation of available evidence reveals that in no way could Martin Bryant have been responsible for the events of that day. And yet we have a Liberal government, together with a corrupt police force and a complicit judiciary, in a hurry to make a verdict and condemn a patsy for the killings that occurred that day. Let's think of the environment for a moment. It was under the Howard government that a deal was struck with the Australian Democrats to get the GST through the Senate. His government introduced the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, now considered the centrepiece of federal environmental legislation. His government also planned to buy back large volumes of water as environmental flows for the Murray River. In 2001, there was the salinity scare. $65 billion was given to the salinity scare by the Howard government. Afterwards, the Murray-Darling Basin Commission, Wendy Craig, acknowledged on national television in 2005 that flawed models have been used to talk up the salinity threat in 2001. And who can forget the 2001 Great Barrier Reef scare? Worldwide Fund for Nature was pleading for money to save the Barrier Reef. The subsequent fishing bans While initially estimated to cost about $1.5 million in compensation to commercial fishermen, have since blown out to nearly $200 million. Furthermore, our ability to feed ourselves has once again gone offshore. Furthermore, many argue that there has been no environmental benefit. The fishing pressure simply transferred to Southeast Asia. But there's more. The banning of broad-scale tree clearing was a campaign issue for the Wilderness Society in 2001. Subsequent bans mean that Australia is on track to meet its Kyoto Protocol targets. Now, under a report entitled Rethinking Deliberate Governance, dissecting the Queensland land clearing campaign by the Queensland Conservation Council, the report explains, and listen closely, that the new legislation established a framework for the regulation of land use on freehold land. Now, this is the process of Agenda 21, removing landowners' rights to do what they will with their land. It was a significant departure from dominant ideologies that accept private landowners retain sovereignty over land management. Furthermore, carbon credits have accrued to the government, not the individual landholders. In 2007, the Howard government's $10 billion National Plan for Water Security was developed. The National Water Act. And in 2007, the Howard government, even though it did not ratify the Kyoto Protocol, even though his government was on track to meet its Kyoto targets, and even the political pressure to ratify was intense, including from within his own cabinet. The fact is, the Howard government met the Kyoto Protocol targets by locking up farmers' land. It was Professor Briscoe that said, "The Water Act became an environmental act, which all it really could be, since it was in the name of the Commonwealth's obligations to an obscure international environmental convention, that it was taking power from the states. To avoid a constitutional crisis, the Commonwealth had to build the Water Act around this fig leaf. And so the fundamentals of the Act were born, an environmental act in which Canberra would tell states and communities and farmers what to do." He said, Professor Briscoe, said that the fact the government implemented a "we will run the numbers and the science behind closed doors, and then we will tell you what the Murray-Darling Basin plan process would be," is squarely blamed on the National Water Act itself. So, what choice do we have? From the few short examples I've cited here, it is obvious that whichever party retains power, the individual is pushed aside for global initiatives. It is under Agenda 21 that the Liberal government developed the Water Act and the National Biodiversity Act, properly called the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act. So in summary, we can see that the boxes of the two coalitions, the left and the right, provide no choice at all. The kings of the earth continue as one, even though they say they stand for different things. The reality is that both parties have allowed corporate entities to develop massive regulations created by lawyers, lobbyists, and politicians to make life increasingly difficult for farmers, business, and the common man. If I wanted to destroy Australia, the first thing I would do would be convince those who listen to me that I represent them and their interests, and then betray them while claiming I was fighting hard for them. If I wanted to destroy Australia, I would lock down the political system. So you only had two choices, which amount to the lesser of two evils. If I wanted to destroy Australia's economy, I would increase the cost of energy much higher than any other nation. I would charge Australians more than I charge any other country for the same coal, gas and resources. I would increase occupational health and safety and environmental regulation so that businesses cannot operate efficiently. If I wanted to destroy Australia, I would make Australia subject to the UN and all its treaties of free trade agreements and all world parity pricing for fuel and oil. I would make Australians pay tax on their food and allow offshore companies to buy Australia's prime agricultural land, produce food, and send it home tax-free. For those who still think that Tony Abbott can save the country, I will say this. Tony Abbott is a Rhodes Scholar, and anyone who has studied history understands that the founder of the Rhodes Scholarship is Cecil Rhodes, and he is responsible for developing development systems, including the Rhodes Scholarship, which are a part of the modern Mystery Babylon schools of initiation into the higher purpose of the New World Order, which is by definition socialist globalist model. Which box do you belong to, friend? The last point on politics is get out of the box. Let's think of sport for a moment, or bread and circuses. The following of sport is part of a tribal instinct that appeals to humanity. The globalists know this, and they create sports as a means to distract the masses from the real issues of life. The bread and circuses of the media is constantly brought to the people's notice, as if this is the news, as if this is the most important issue of life. People are brought into everyday combat by belonging to a team, a box. Which box do you belong to? The roots of sport distraction for the masses goes back to ancient times. During the reign of the Roman Empire, the arena was developed as a centerpiece of society. The implementation of blood sports and gladiatory events was an appeal to the common people and was designed to give them an active option to follow. Something to occupy the mind. A convenient distraction that could be infused into society as a normal part of life. I ask again, which box do you belong to? Gladiators, footballers, players of all kinds are used to get people voluntarily into a box. Plays, farces, spectacles, gladiators, strange beasts, medals, pictures, and other such opiates. These were for ancient peoples the bait towards slavery, the price of their liberty, the instruments of tyranny. By these practices and enticements, the ancient dictators so successfully lulled their subjects under the yoke that the stupefied peoples, tyrants would distribute largesse, a bushel of wheat, a gallon of wine, and then everyone would shamelessly cry, "Long live the king!" The fools did not realize that they were merely recovering a portion of their own property, and that their ruler could not have given them what they were receiving without having first taken it from them. Unquote. And that was from Equestrian de la Poide, a discourse on voluntary servitude, 1548. As a feature of the Imperial Roman weapon of mass distraction, sport is a major attention attractor, now exemplified by the Olympic Games. I'll have more to say on the Olympic Games in a podcast into the future. Bread and circuses is a metaphor for a superficial means of appeasement It was the basic Roman formula for the well-being of the population, and hence a political strategy in itself. Through its effect on communities whose collective identities are ultimately associated with the individual players and teams, sport is a weapon of mass distraction. Which box do you belong to? I've learned long ago that backing any team ultimately means you'll be let down at some stage. The whole concept of winning becomes the all-absorbing theme. When the gospel teaches that he that is first will be last, and the last first. You see, the gospel works in opposite principles to that of the world. And further, the Bible teaches us that we should not put our trust in princes, kings or politicians, nor in the sons of men, we could say the sportsmen, in whom there is no help. So while the masses are captivated by the opiate of sport and the day-to-day licentious lifestyles of the sports gods, the emperors of Rome are gladly leading the masses into servitude, giving back some cash payments that they've stolen from the wealth of the nation. And while the masses are watching the games, the nation's wealth is being sold into the hands of communist China, from which all the cash payments are borrowed. It matters not what sport it is. It is an opiate to our eyes to take our eyes off the real game, being the masterclass ruling over us to lead us and our children into further slavery. While the masses are dumbed down to only think to the next game, to the next case of beer to watch the next game, the principle of bread and circuses continues to absorb the attention of the masses away from the real game, which is the game of life, the game of liberty, and the game of freedom. Which box do you belong to? Let's move our focus to the box of religion. It is often asked, what religion do you belong to? And most people answer, with a religion that they were baptized into as babies. Only a small percentage of people actually convert to another faith after being raised by whatever standard they are raised at within their original family structure. Therefore, we are generally confined to a box that we are born into. Let's look again at the word contain, a box, a container. It means to hold something within it or restrain it. If you are in a box, you are restrained. Your thinking is restricted. You are restricted. You are constrained. Which box do you belong to? For the free thinker, this is the opposite of freedom. And it could be generally said that those that stay in the box they are born into have not grown or developed outside of their family tradition. Freedom is to live without constraints. Which constraints? Family, religion, tradition, culture, education, peers, government, others. All these and more are environments that affect our ability to learn and advance outside the box. You have heard the saying that we should think outside the square. That is because the majority of people think within the square. And the analogy of sheep is appropriate here. Sheep generally follow other sheep and feel totally comfortable with that. Often they follow other sheep into a disaster of some description. The Bible says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Matthew 15:14. Which box do you belong to? Think of your religion and church as a box. This box has sides, a top and a bottom, and is an entity with boundaries. These boundaries often stop us from learning Most religions are built on a set of beliefs, and these beliefs are the boundary. This is what you believe in the religious sense. Let's go back to the Reformation and think of what an effect that the Reformation has had on the world, life, and religion. Martin Luther, a Roman Catholic priest, challenged the system that he had been born into, and indeed was an integral part of. A system that claimed it had all knowledge of life and death, and further, it held the keys to life and death within its mystery priesthood. This mystery priesthood claimed that the priest was holy and could give eternal life to any that opened their soul to him. This mystery priesthood also claims that the high priest is God and could never sin or die despite whatever he did. Martin Luther, having an investigative mind, happened upon reading the scriptures, and he discovered that the just shall live by faith. Upon reading this text, he challenged the power and mystery of the religious system which changed the world. It brought the common man to an understanding that by education, by reading, by research, by investigation, that the common man could know and understand more about life, mathematics, science, English, than any of the so-called priesthood. Today, the priesthood is the scientific, economic, political, and religious experts. Martin Luther thought outside the box. What was the result for him? Isolation, banishment, and a death sentence from a church against him. So the beginnings of the Lutheran faith were developed, but within time, the Lutheran people also stopped reforming, as with all the Protestant churches. They all held some particular truth which made a separate box from the other, but continued to make the box. They drew lines as to what the faith was. They made the box, or a container, and said, "This is it. We have arrived at the truth." If we think of any church, we can find some portion of truth in it. But the boundaries of the church stop the individual from growing into more truth. Think of the box for a moment. A church as a box, or as we covered a few weeks ago in our podcast Mystery Babylon, the development of fenced cities by Nimrod as places of refuge. These fenced cities also reflect the concept of boxes or containers that contain the people. The fences are the restrictive barriers that are placed to limit the movement of people from entering or leaving. Understanding this principle, we can see how a church, like a fenced city, develops its fences in which the people take refuge. The people learn to trust in the security of the church. They trust in the security of the fence. It makes them feel safe, which represents the beliefs or the doctrines that the church uses as its barrier, its form of defense. Most systems of religion teach, as Mystery Babylon does, that the individual's security is in trusting in the priesthood that maintains the fences. This priesthood being the pastors, the priests, the reverends, the teachers, the ruling class that claim to be the custodians of the truth and beliefs of that system. Therefore, the people are taught to put their trust in the self-designated gatekeepers, and hence do not need to investigate the truth for themselves, as they put their trust in the priesthood to manage the box for them. You see, Luther came to understand that the city that was holding him, Mystery Babylon, was killing him. He realized he had to break free in order to find salvation. He realized that the fence they had built was a false reality. Now, as we mentioned earlier, this is the work of the social engineers of the New Order, to create a false reality. The church did exist. The fence did exist. But it was built upon a false foundation. One of lies, deceit, corruption, wickedness, and death. Luther realized, as I did also, that it was necessary to break out of this box. The question is, which box do you belong to? Which box is containing or restraining you? You see, the scripture says in Isaiah 58:6 that we are to break every yoke. What that means is to break that box. These yokes, these boxes, are the yokes of tradition. In Galatians 5:1, Paul said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Yahshua has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." In Colossians 2:8, he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men." In Matthew 15:9, the Messiah said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 16:6 and 7, Yahshua said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Then understood they how that he said to them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but not of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So this is what Yahshua taught, that the doctrines of men and the churches were to be viewed and treated with suspicion unless they were true. And if they were not, they were to be walked away from. The box was to be broken out of. That is why I do not belong to any particular religion, because I cannot be true to myself and my God, Yahweh. A religion is a box that would restrict my thinking to a collective group of men's ideas. You see, the truth is ongoing. You have often heard people, even in the conservative media, saying, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But what they fail to read is the verse before it. In John 8:31, it said this, "Then said Yahshua to those Jews which believed on him." So this is to the followers. He said this to the followers. "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Ah, you see, if you continue in my word. So in other words, we need to continue researching the truth and walking in the truth, and only then will you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, in verse 32 that follows. Think for a moment of the parable of the shepherd in John chapter 10. We read here how the true shepherd leads his sheep. In John 10, verse 3 and 4, it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." You see, Yahshua says that he is the door. He provides the way of escape for you out of your box. Many are contained container, box. Many are contained within the box. They are restrained from growing up into the Messiah, and they cannot grow while they remain within their box. This is why the Messiah came and said that he came to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them which are bruised. Therefore, which box do you belong to? In politics, in sport, or in religion? There is no political party or no politician that will save you from the coming world order. There is no sports team or sports person that can save you from the coming world order. There is no church, there is no religion, there is no priest, there is no pastor, there is no box of teachings that can save you from the coming world order. Only the Creator Yahweh can save you through the gift of His Son, the Deliverer, who said He came to preach deliverance to those who are captives inside their boxes. I encourage you to look out of your box, to look out of your container, and learn to be free in the Messiah. You see, He says that He is the shepherd, and He is the door, and He provides a door for that box so that you can find your way out. And He said He leads His sheep out. Ladies and gentlemen, the Master, our Messiah, the Savior of the world, is wanting to lead you out and feed you in green pastures. He's wanting to lead you away from the traditions and the philosophies of men, which cannot save you. He wants to lead you away from the bread and circuses, which cannot save you. He's wanting to lead you out and feed you green pastures. Allow the Messiah to be your teacher. Allow Him to be your mind and your priest. Then, the new covenant can be fulfilled in your life, where no man will be your teacher anymore, but Yahshua the Messiah will be your teacher directly. And you will know if this is happening in your life. If you no longer love the world, if you no longer see hope in the political parties or men to save you, when you really see the bread and circuses for what they are, when you no longer love the things that are in the world, but your heart, your mind, and your spirit are looking for a better city whose builder and maker is Yahweh. My dear friend, which box do you belong to? Thanks for joining me. This is Leon Pittard for Fair Dinkum Radio.
Which box do you belong to? I'd like to just recap a little bit of what he said about sports. I thought it was very, very interesting. We just had a Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl, you know, has Roman numerals. Well, I'll talk about that just a little bit later. But let's recap what he said. He says, which box do you belong to? Gladiators, football, footballers, players are used to get people to voluntarily get in a box. Plays, spectacles, gladiators, strange beasts, medals, pitchers, and other such opiates. These were for ancient peoples the bait towards slavery, the price of their freedom, the instruments of tyranny. By these practices and enticements, the ancient dictators so successfully lulled their subjects under the yoke that stupefied the peoples. Tyrants would distribute largeness, a bushel of wheat, a gallon of wine, and then everybody would be shamelessly crying, "Long live the king!" The fools did not realize that they were merely recovering a portion of their property and that their ruler could not have given them that, given them what they were receiving without having first taken it from them. And as I wanted to just finish off here and mention the Super Bowl, I was up on the internet. I found a couple sources that said every single team is owned by a Knight of Malta. Well, a Knight of Malta are a Catholic. The New York Giants are owned by a Roman Catholic. The San Francisco 49ers, you know, are owned by a Catholic. And the Baltimore Ravens were all owned by a Catholic. Now, understand, let's don't look at the Catholics on the street. Let's look at it, what box they're in. In other words, this keeps people occupied and preoccupied on what's really going on. And the reason that I have played this Fair Dinkum Radio is he has a lot of very, very interesting topics. In other words, one of them he has, you can go up here, he has archives. One is on the drone wars, because they've been using that Global Hawk over there in Australia way before they brought it back over here. He's got Drone Wars by Andrew Galvin Marshall. He covers the fluoride wars. He covers Agenda 21, you know, and the UN. And again, it's coming from another. They're doing exactly what they're doing to our country. In other words, with NAFTA. In other words, Australia should be able to support itself. The United States, we shouldn't be importing any beef from South America. And Mexico shouldn't be as poor as it is. This is all by design. And understand, South America is Roman, and Mexico is too. And that's the reason why the borders are wide open, is because 98% of Mexico are Catholics. And but doesn't mean. You see, they use the people at the bottom as their voting base, and you know, in other words, it's much deeper. But the reason why people are anymore, though, we can't go to Mexico. I mean, if we try to go across the border without, we're going to get arrested and locked up. And there's a reason why they're coming one way. This is the last bastion. This is the last Protestant nation with Protestant principles. So anyway, with that, I strongly urge that you visit Fair Dinkum Radio. To get there, you can go to fairdinkumradio.com and go directly there, or you can go to my website, granddesignexposed.com, and then you scroll down and you'll see a button. I have a button there to Fair Dinkum Radio. So with that, you know, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next broadcast.
Do you know the Lord? Do you really know the Lord, who's closer than any brother, closer than any other? Do you really know the Lord? Do you know the King? Do you really know? with deception and doubt. There's just one way in and one way out. How you live in between, that's what makes life count. Are you living your life knowing Him? Do you know the Lord? Do you really know Him? The one who died to cover your sin. Do you really know the Lord? My friends, get right with Jesus. My friends, get to know the Lord. My friends, get right with Jesus. Before you stand before Him, do you know the Lord? Know the grace I am.